You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The government has recently announced they're bringing forward of the Aotearoa border opening to the 31st of July. This includes a newly implemented two-tier system for migrant workers, allowing professional industry workers to gain permanent residency quickly. As this pushes back other workers and industries with high turnover rates, the Migrant Workers Association of New Zealand have publicly condemned the new system. I spoke to Anau Koloti from the association about their frustrations, first asking her to summarise the scheme that the government has now implemented.
So basically, there's few elements to what's been announced on 10th of May. The biggest positive, I guess, that we see out of this is that the borders will reopen on 31st of July to everybody. So that's welcome news, because it will allow our tourism industry to kickstart again, and it will also allow, more importantly, I feel, it will allow a lot of the separated families to reunite with their loved ones. So that's good. And then the elements that we are critical about are where the announcement has created or will potentially create inequities amongst workers and various occupations that we have. And it will also push back. So the workers, migrant workers who are already here in Aotearoa and have been excluded from announcements time and time again, they will be pushed further down the chain yet again. And also a couple of other things that have not been addressed. They've actually not been addressed for a long time now. So migrants who remain stranded offshore. So these are New Zealand temporary visa holders, mostly with work rights, who had a life here and just got caught out of New Zealand when our borders closed. And those people, they're in their thousands. I've seen in media figures of 20 to 30,000 quoted. So nothing for them, no plans to give them replacement visas or extend their visas so that they can return. And the other most vulnerable group is our overstayers, who are largely made up of the Pacifica community, and there are some Indians and Chinese people in there as well. Now, the government has had more than one opportunity to deal with these two issues, so there's been nothing in the announcement about the most vulnerable section of our communities.
Do you think that there needs to be some more reform to the current system, or is this more of a systemic issue that should have changed by now but is not being changed during the opportunity where it needs to change the most?
So minor reforms, even more than minor reforms, are not really going to help the situation here with the skill shortages and other infrastructure related issues. So these are systemic issues, and they need to be dealt with as a holistic approach rather than just tinkering with our immigration settings. I will take nurses and teachers as an example. So they've introduced this new skill shortage list, which is in two tiers, and we oppose that. You know, that straight away, that is classist, and that creates inequities amongst workers. So in tier one, we have professionals like doctors, surgeons, a lot of construction workers, engineers, food technologists, and it looks like it's just largely male-dominated occupations that we have in tier one. So the tier one people, if they arrive in New Zealand to work in July this year, they can start becoming residents in September of this year, and that's really short, that's a couple of months, and that's fast-tracked residence pathway. While we really welcome that, but in the same skill shortage list, in Tier 2, they have mostly female-dominated occupations. They have nurses, they have midwives, and they have aged care support workers, they have teachers. Now, in Tier 2, Those people can also come to do those jobs here in July 2022, but they will have to wait 2 years before they can be on a pathway to residence. Now, that is grossly unfair, especially if when you look at it, people in Tier 1 and Tier 2 usually need to work together to deliver outcomes. So I'll take the health services. So if we've got surgeons or pediatricians or whatever, they need the nurses or they need the midwives to deliver whatever they are directing. And especially amid a global pandemic, which is health-related, COVID, it is absolutely vital that we put all our health workers on that fast track pathway to residence. So that I simply cannot comprehend why the hands-on workers are being pushed further down, that they have to wait 2 years before they can be residents here. And now I understand. I'll take back why. I understand why they've done it, and they the reasons that I think they are proposing or giving are that once nurses or midwives or certain other professions, once they become residents, they leave New Zealand. I think we've been, I know we've been losing a lot of our healthcare staff and teachers to Australia. So now we need to look at why is that happening, not just with our migrant nurses, midwives and teachers, or all of our workers, you know, people who are citizens and residents born here, raised here, and they're working as teachers and nurses. Why are they going to Australia? It's really simple that because they are disheartened, disappointed, they are not being looked after well here. So that's why they're going out and going to better opportunities. So that's what I mean by holistic approach. We need to look at the underlying reasons as well. Why don't we have enough people to fill those roles? So while we need to take immediate steps, and by employing more migrants and filling those roles, that we also need to look at medium and long term how we are going to prevent this. You know, there's and also it's been forecast that as soon as our borders are open to the entire world, not only will people come in, people will also go out to seek better opportunities. That's why we believe this announcement made on 10th of May is just tinkering and minor reform. It's not actually real meaningful look and reset of immigration balance, immigration policies.
Can you go into more detail about the working conditions that migrant workers have been under both before and during the COVID pandemic?
Sure. Our public services, like the healthcare, the education sector, they were pretty stretched before COVID anyway. And then come COVID, we've been stretched even further, where we have, I believe, 4,000 vacancies for nurses. Yesterday, I was listening to the president of the New Zealand Nurses Organization, and she was saying that we simply do not have the people to fill those vacancies. So we are really stretched. So we've got a small core of our healthcare workers who are working way more than they should have to, and we are just fortunate that, you know, this hasn't turned into a huge disaster, and we should all be really thankful to those staff in our public health system and other sectors as well, like our supermarkets, our truck drivers who've kept us going, who've kept the country functional in the last 2 years, many times these workers are visa workers, and more often than not, their visas are tied to their employers. So, whereas a Kiwi worker who's a citizen or permanent resident still has the option of switching jobs, and if should there be a period of unemployment, they can access the social welfare system for benefits and for a bit of support, whereas workers on temporary visas, especially when they're tied, that they can't. They are trapped. They have to keep working for that employer. And even when they do switch employers, there's quite a lengthy process, a bureaucratic process to go through with Immigration New Zealand for them to change their visas to be tied to another employer. And if they are without an income in that time period, they do not qualify for any support from the state by the way of unemployment benefits or any other supplements or benefits. So they are really, really penalized and victimized by the way our system is designed. And then on top, we do unfortunately get some employers who choose to exploit those vulnerable workers.
So what changes do you think needs to be made, both to the recently announced system of migrant workers coming into New Zealand and in general for the entire system that we've seen happen during the past few years and before that?
So we've been calling for the practice of attaching visas to employers to be stopped for a number of years now. While you know the government claims this new accredited employer work visa that's coming in July will address a lot of those issues, because there will be certain checks and balances that will be in place to make sure the employers don't have any bad history, they're not on the wrong side of employment law and taxation law and all of that. The bottom line is that visa still requires the worker to be tied to the employer. And now in this recent announcement, they've said that that visa will be fast-tracked so that the employers don't have to provide too much information, so you know they can have access to their migrant workers faster. So that's not the right approach. You know, we would actually, if as a minimum, we would like more checks and balances there. But the ideal thing to do is to not attach the workers to the employers. That would be much better. We've also in the past proposed that we understand that employers also need certainty and they don't want huge staff turnover, that they want to hold on to their workers. And so we've in the past several times proposed, how about we consider I don't want to use the word attaching, but how about we suggest that migrant workers on worker visas can only work in regions of skill shortages, or they can only work in occupations that they have qualifications and experience for. So to quote an example, if, say Mr. Singh has studied dairy farming and has some experience working as a dairy farmer or an assistant, they can only work for any dairy farm in say, for example, the Waikato. That would be way better than tying them to, John Smith in Hamilton, who owns a dairy farm. So, it would still be more flexibility for the migrant worker. And the other thing we have been actually protesting about is last year when this government, they actually did something very radical for this government, and they announced the one-off residence visa 2021 in September last year. But that was not very well executed, not very well thought, that they missed out about 85,000 people. So migrants who were second, third time students were deemed that, they're not here to work, but they were only studying again because they hit a roadblock and couldn't get onto a pathway to residence and chose to upskill. So we still have that demand from the government that they should extend that residence visa to everybody who is already here. Then they don't need to bring in these tier one, tier two lists. You know, people who are already here can be taken care of through that one residence visa. And people who are stranded offshore, they should have been given automatic visa extensions in the last 2 years. The government's provided the automatic extensions to most visa categories who were onshore. And again, in this new announcement, they are going to extend 20,000 visas that expire between May and December this year. But that is only for people who are onshore. Why not provide that facility to those who are stranded offshore as well? You know, that the government would be making their own life easier by doing that, because then those people, when the borders reopen, those people can just come back and fill the skill shortages that are in various regions. And the amnesty for overstayers, you know, I believe we've got around 15 to 18,000 people in Aotearoa who are overstayers. Now, the government had a perfect opportunity last year when they apologized for the Dawn raids. They could have backed up that apology with action, like give work rights to those overstayers. Even now, they can make those workers, those overstayers lawful and then give them work rights. Again, we know a lot of them already work under the table. And you know, that is such a precarious and fearful situation. Why not document them and let them work? And they can then contribute to the economy. Not only that, they can have a life of respect and dignity. And we would like this two-tier approach to be abolished. We need to fast-track residency for everybody where we have an acute shortage of staff. So, you know, those are some of the very basic things that we demand as a minimum. And I see a lot of unions are angry. Yesterday I listened to the NZNO, and then I saw a press release from the Midwives Union as well, you know, and they are saying that this is a sexist approach, that the tier two on that shortage list has mostly male-dominated jobs, occupations, whereas the tier two is mostly female-dominated occupations. And some people have gone as far as saying that this is a racist policy, this is white New Zealand policy, because that there are figures floating around that I think the most impacted migrants out of this policy will be people of Indian origin and people from the Philippines. And also, we know historically those top jobs, you know, highly qualified medical professionals, engineers or whatever, that those are people mostly from European countries. So I would say this looks like a Eurocentric approach rather than looking at what is the best for Aotearoa. And another really awful thing that's been announced is that students who come here, their partners, well, depending on what level the students have been studying, so basically bachelor's degree upwards, their partners and dependent children have been allowed to, so partners have been allowed to have open work visas, children school age have been given student visas so they can study. So going forward, that's not going to be the case either. So partners and children will only be able to get visitor visas in most cases. And again, you know, that will make New Zealand not an attractive destination for tertiary education. So I'm sure the education sector will also be up in arms and angry about this. And we've already lost thousands of people to other countries like USA, Canada, UK, mostly Canada, I think, and more recently Australia, where migrants are looking at things and thinking, you know, I'll be treated much better here and I will have a more certain future in those countries. I've a lot of anger in the last 24 hours.
Yeah.
And as a result, we did a march on 1st of May down Queen Street, which was fairly energetic, fairly positive. And then we've got another march coming up on 11th of June in Auckland CBD again.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.